from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My next guest does not need much of an intro, because he's an absolute legend here in the city of Memphis. 2022 inductee into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. But he also works for Grind City Media now after a bunch of years at WMC. That would be Jarvis Greer at Jarvis Greer WMC on X. Jarvis, how's it going?
Hey, great, Gabe. How about you, man?
I'm hanging in there.
Exciting times, right?
110%. What do you think about what's going on over at the old Liberty Bowl at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium? Were you there? Were you there for the initial groundbreaking?
Yes, I was there for I had to see it. You know, I had to be over there and hear, you know, the pundits speak and all that. But I wanted to see the heavy equipment come out and do their thing. And it's kind of bittersweet for me, because, you know, I played in that stadium when it was a 50,000-seat stadium, and now it looks like it's going to go back to being 50,000 seats. But to see them start plugging on the walls and clawing out the rebar and all that stuff, it was like, oh, yeah, but, you know, hey, they knocked down the hospital I was born in. So, but they're not blowing this one up. They're just redoing it. And I took my grandson over there yesterday so he could see. They were still over there clawing out and taking stuff out. And it said, this is history you're watching here. And this, you will remember this. He's 7 years old. You'll remember this when you're as old as I am. So this is something that it's something that we can all be, you know, it was expected, or like I'd say, anticipation was. It was palpable, and it's finally happening.
Yeah, so, no, I will say it is. It's bittersweet for some folks, because you see, part of a stadium that was, you know, opened in 1965 getting knocked down. But there's a lot more memories we can make in that place once it's all done.
You know, it's really crazy, because the and a lot of people, I have to tell you this, are saying, well, you know, when they're done with this, can they just go across over on the other side of the parking lot and get after the Coliseum?
Yeah. I'm one of those people. I can say that, Jarvis.
It's time. I mean, I graduated in there, and I saw Keith Lee and Larry Finch and Derrick Rose, and I saw all the stars, you know, from the early 70s on play in that building, and, you know, several concerts and all that. But, you know, Father Time, you know, calls, it makes its call at some point.
Yes.
And there's nothing else they can do with it. So it's time for that to go. But with the Liberty Bowl, Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium being redone, and the Tigers picked first in the conference in the AAC media days. It's, hey, man, ready to go. To go GTG all the way.
Yeah, 23 of 30 first place votes. That comes with a lot of pressure, though. I mean, this is going to be an interesting year. I mean, it's the first time they have ever been picked first. And even when I was playing, when we had some really good teams,
it's amazing.
The first time ever they've been picked to win a conference. That comes with a lot of pressure, though, and I'm wondering how they're going to handle it.
Well, the main pressure is going to come on the road, because the team has This team has struggled on the road a bit under Ryan, but it's done well at home, very well at home. You know, you go to home, you go to home games at SVLS, and you're expecting to see a win because that's what they do. And, you know, people groused about, oh, they won only, they just eked out wins last year on the road against whoever, but it don't matter, man. A W is a W. And I think this team is strong enough. The way it's been put together and getting everybody to come back, thank you, Fred. And I got to give out the shout to
yes.
Fred X. I call it Fred X.
Fred X.
You know, I say, you know, thank you very much. And, you know, the people are getting on board with this program. They know how good it can be. And, you know, Ryan's done very well in the recruiting and in the portal and all that other good stuff for not only this year but for next season as well. So there's plenty of reason to be excited about it. But if you look at the team as currently constructed, I mean, I don't see why they can't do it. You know, I don't see
right.
why they can't be the Group of Five representative in the college football playoff.
Now, this is my real question. What do you think's like disappointment? What do you think? What do they have to get to? Where do you think they have to get to for this fan base to completely rally around them and not be disappointed by where they are? I mean, last year you even saw a little bit of disappointment, but I mean, obviously, I know the historical significance of 9 wins and 10 wins. It's only been done.
Yeah,
it was the fourth time ever they got to 10 wins.
Yeah, and the big significance of that, it's the fourth time since 2014. So that means just about every other year you're winning 10 games. And it's like this is something, it's a program now. It's been established as a program. And there's always going to be naysayers. You know, if you don't win the championship, if you don't go to the playoff, then, hey, you know, you failed. And I say, I'd look at it like that team a couple of years ago that Coach Finney had with the Tigers. They had a great team. They just ran into a great team and, you know, lost on a fluke and a couple of bad calls from the officials in the tournament, or they possibly could have made a run all the way to the Final Four and the Natty. So, you know, there's anything can happen in a season, but if you look at it and looking at the rest of the competition around the country and in this league and the way this team at Memphis is constructed, this looks like a champ. This, and everybody's picking them.
Yep.
This looks like a team that's got a chance, you know, to make all the noise, to, you know, do what we have only dreamed about doing. You know, mm-hmm. No team from Memphis has ever had a chance at a national championship. You can say, oh, it's slim to none if you want with the Alabamas and the Michigans and the Oregon, but you never had a chance to be in the tournament with them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a chance, and this team is built right now to make that step, to take that chance, take that leap.
Yeah, and between,
and then if they get in it, you know, who knows what can happen.
And between Fred X, like you already said, and that selling point not being a negative recruiting point for other schools, you're seeing that recruiting go up. That's an unbelievable thing.
Great.
Like seeing Antoine Hill Jr., seeing some of the wide receivers they've signed. Like this is a different time. It is a different time in Memphis football history than we've ever even become accustomed to.
Well, they can tell them stuff like, you know, they can promise things that they couldn't promise before. They might say it, but there was no meat behind it. There's meat behind this now. You know, you're going to get paid. You're going to have a chance to compete. You'll be on TV. You got all the other things that, and you're being picked, you know, to have a chance at that brass ring.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, never in the history of the program have you had that. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Nobody does. But bringing in Dr. Ed Scott as the new AD, quite an impressive individual, I must say. Well, I went to the news conference and had a chance to speak with him a little bit along with Dave Belosian, who's the voice of the Tigers. And impressive dude, very impressive. And he kind of reminds me, now I'm going to tell you this up front, Tom Jurich, who was the AD at Louisville when they made the jump
yep.
From the league that we're in now to the ACC. He was a crook, but he got a lot of stuff done. And Louisville was in the same. They're in a tougher position in Memphis because not only do they have the SEC in their back door, right across the river, they got the Ohio River. They got the Big Ten, but they were able to do it and make the transition to the ACC because they focused on themselves and they didn't worry about what's down the road. They made themselves better so they would be in the best possible position, you know, to be the next team called up. I mean, they did a whole total program revamp. I mean, from the women's teams, the Olympic sports teams, to basketball and football. Now, they've fallen on hard times lately in basketball, but they've been to the pinnacle there before. They they elevated their football program because they saw that that's what you got to have, you know, in order to really make the noise. And that's what this program is doing now. Plus, Ed Scott has a lot of ties with the Atlantic Coast Conference, with the commissioner of that league. And that league is kind of in turmoil right now as far as what's going to happen. And, things are pointing in a good direction. I don't know if they're going to happen. You don't know if they're going to. Nobody knows. But the way that the excitement is right now, I can take that and run with it.
Doing all the right things. There's no question about it. Yeah. And I think, you can only control what you can control. And I know how corny and cliche that sounds, but you can only do what's right there in front of you to make yourself a more attractive, athletic department and athletic team to get into one of those conferences. Now, real quick, on the Ed Scott front, since you brought it up, one thing that really just jumps off the page, about him, obviously he's got a good track record. He secured the biggest donation in HBCU history when he's at Morgan State.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No small feat.
Right. But like,
that is no small feat.
One of the big
that.
Things that just jumps out for me, just even seeing his intro press conference and what he was doing, he went over to the football facility, got in front of those guys and started hugging on them, loving on them. He seems like a guy who definitely embodies the 21st century AD, where he can speak on behalf of his programs. He definitely has that charisma. And I love Laird Veach. I think Laird Veach did a hell of a job. Obviously, he's off to Mizzou.
Too.
But looking at Ed Scott, he's got that charisma and that salesman type attitude that I think plays really well in this day and age.
Well, I'm a big fan of Laird Veach because of what he was able to secure with getting the funding for the stadium and navigating the Tigers through some tough times there with some other things. But, sometimes it seems like this program and Ed Scott are made for each other.
Yep.
They're both on the come up, and this is a program where Ed Scott wants to be. Laird Veach goes back to Missouri where he was once before, and they were very, they loved him then. They're going to love him again. And maybe we can keep them a series going with Missouri. That'd be great, I think. But
maybe they can play here too. Maybe, maybe we can make that happen.
I would think that he wouldn't be so. He'd say, "Yeah, we'll go down there. If we take an L, we take an L because it's a good program." And that's the way it used to be. That's what I hate about all this Power Five, Group of Five business. Back when I was playing in the '70s, we could play anybody, and anybody would play us home and home. We had home and homes with Florida State and Auburn. And teams say, we knocked them out upside their heads several times. But it didn't matter because they could go on and play their league. We'd go on and play our league. It wasn't like, you can't play. It's like it's beneath these Power Five teams to play. The only thing they got over a lot of these other teams is money, and that's all. It's not the talent on the field. Now, they're able to attract more talent because of the money. But now, and the gap is getting bigger. That's why we really need to get into this. Another situation, I love the American because we go to cities for one thing. It's great for travel. But there are a lot of good teams in the league that, are trying to do the best they can. Now it's Memphis' turn. And I think that, the Tigers are doing everything they can to try to make that leap. It's like, there is at some point where, it's not sink or swim, but you gotta smell the flowers along the way. Otherwise, your life will be miserable. If you win the American Championship, that's a win. If you beat, these teams and wind up with 10 wins, that's a win. But you can't, be so far looking down the road. We got to get in this and we got to get in that. Yeah, we have to, but let's enjoy this along the way because this is pretty fun right now.
Now, speaking of talent on this team that got picked to win the American Athletic Conference, 23 of 31st place votes, we already covered that. Where do you think the problem areas lie? Where do you think the problem areas are on this Memphis football team heading into this year?
I would not exactly call them problem areas as I would call them question marks. The one thing is, you lost a couple of offensive linemen to graduation and to the transfer portal. You know what it's like on the line.
Yep.
You got to be like five fingers making a glove, fitting in the glove, right?
Yeah.
All these guys got to be, everybody knows everybody's position. I think they have added some depth. And I think not only is it depth, it's good depth. They've got some guys that have come in from programs that, have played major snaps, that have size. This team is big now, that have size and that, have a lot of ability. We saw what they could do as the season went along. If we get a good running back, which it looks like they got from South Carolina, they're going to open some holes for them. You got a great quarterback. If you can protect him, he's going to put up a lot of points, a lot of yards. So I would say offensive line, making sure that those guys gel together and you have depth. Defensive backfield.
Yep.
They brought in some guys from the portal. They lost a DB to Mississippi State that had done really well for us, Diego.
Diego Brumfield.
Yeah, Brumfield. He's a really good player for the Tigers, but they brought in some other guys, and they also losing the safety is going to hurt, but they moved a former cornerback to free safety, the kid from White Station. Yeah, and he's really thriving in that position. And what's the kid from Michigan that transferred from Miss Julian?
Michigan State, Julian Barnett.
Michigan State.
Yeah, we've definitely been waiting for him for a while to sort of break through, and it feels like this year may be the year.
He's been coming on. He's played better and better, and they also got the kid that broke his leg last year at Arkansas State, in the second game of the season. He's coming back. He'll be healthy, and he makes like first team or second team, I think.
Davion Ross, and he's fast. That's a speedster.
Yeah, he's got speed. He's also a returner.
Uh-huh.
They've got a returner in the little running back that scored that long touchdown against Iowa State, and then they've got another one. They've got pieces. They've got pieces at every position. I would like to see if on the wide receiver spot, if the kid that they signed him a 4-star this year. And they also brought in another kid from on the portal that can play that other wideout position opposite Rock.
Yep.
If you got some speed out there, I don't care if he catches. I do care if he catches the ball, but you need that speed out there that so he can run deep and you have to respect him, and that'll leave Rock and Blankensy open beneath or on other routes on the other side of the field. So you give Seth plenty of targets to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got targets to throw to, and he's got. I think the running back room looks good. I think, like I said, I don't think there are problems as much as there are question marks.
Yep.
If they can solve those question marks, I mean, heck, this could be a 12-0. Let's go to playoffs.
Yeah. Now, what I like about this offense and the way they sort of constructed that running back room this offseason, you have a Thunder and Lightning, Mario Anderson Jr., the Thunder. He's going to be able to break those arm tackles. Sutton Smith, of course, who had the big game in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. He's sort of the Lightning in that running back room. And Brandon Thomas is still around. You still have some guys and some depth there. The O-line, Ryan keeps saying this is more depth than he's had in a while. I think there's really 8 guys he trusts up there with experience that he really trusts. Now, when it comes to the defense, you brought up the secondary. This is where every single year, I think besides 2019 and really my first year in 2014, where you're going to
outscore people.
but you question consistently, okay, is this defense going to be better? And I think most of us every single year, it's like, oh, they're going to be improved. And seemingly they don't take that step. They don't take that next step. One thing I think is going to be a given, and I want your opinion on this. This is just the way I feel about it. One thing I see as a given is with Jordan Hankins and this linebacking core. I mean, you're going to have Elijah Herring over from Tennessee, Chandler Martin, who was first team all AAC. You have some big guys up front, Cormonte Hamilton coming back for a 5th year as a defensive end. I think this run defense is going to be good. I think that's the given here, but it's all about that secondary. I think Jordan Hankins did a great job. He held Iowa State to 0 yards as the defensive coordinator in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. But that secondary, let's not forget, they still gave up 440 yards in that game, even though Memphis won very handily.
Well, I'll put it this way. If you got to dare people to throw, and if you can stop the run, that's the main thing.
Yep.
If you stop the run, okay, well, if they threw it all over you. Well, we may have to outscore people, but, that's life in 2024. Everybody's trying to outscore anybody because everybody's offense is good enough to put points on the board. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the way the rules are, you can't put your hands on people, past 5 yards. Yeah, the way we used to do. But I'll put it this way. Jordan Hankins, as a defensive coordinator, the way he came on, he is used to – he came up from smaller programs, right?
Yeah, UT Martin.
You got different kind of guys. You got smaller guys that may be really good football players, but maybe they didn't run a 4.640 at 280 pounds. Or maybe they didn't – that. And the defensive coordinator that we had that went to Mississippi State, I really like him, but he was used to coaching talent.
Yep.
Because he was – He was at Ohio State. He was used to – okay, you tell this guy to do that, and then just do it. Because they're bigger and stronger and faster than anybody else. And with Hankins, you got to devise a different scheme to more specifically, go to the talent that you actually have, not the talent you wish you had, the talent you actually have. Like, you could say, okay, run this out route like D'Angelo Williams, you know, go cut off the tackle's butt like, you know, Blake Watson did. But if you don't have Blake Watson talent, or you don't have D'Angelo Williams talent, or, you know, something like, you just can't do it. You got to devise another way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think Hankins came up with a good scheme, well, not a good scheme, a great scheme against Iowa State that can be used going forward with the talent that Memphis actually has.
Yeah.
And I think for that reason, and that reason alone, the defense will be better.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, the guys still got to get in the weight room and still got to, you know, do those gassers and all those stuff you love to do when you were out there running around. How many of them did you make?
The super gassers, probably one usually when I was out there doing that.
Yeah, we laugh about that stuff.
And Jarvis, do you still do like me, where like when the weather changes to the summer, you start sniffing the air, and you know that it's nice and humid, and you're like, oh, I have some throwbacks. I have maybe a little bit of PTSD from what I used to have to do over at South Campus.
Until I hit about 45, I think I still had that. I would still go out and go run, or, you know, we used to play park commission, you know, and we played soccer and we played football. And flag football, that kind of stuff. But, man, that went away after that.
Yeah.
Once those knees start to go, buddy, it's like, no, that competition's in. And that's what the only thing about Father Time that I really hate is that your mind thinks you can do it, but your body's like, what the hell are you doing, fool? You can't do this stuff no more. Because, you know, I twist the knee. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yes.
You know, I've already had, you know, enough surgeries on both knees to say, no, I do not want to go through that again, and why? Because if I go down, heck, I can't go and I can't walk around and do the stuff that I want to do. Wife and I are going to the Olympics in a couple of weeks.
That's so awesome.
You know, I want to be able to move around and do that stuff and play with my grandkids. You know, I've seen so many guys that are all torn up. With injuries, fingers all mangled. Well, you probably got a few.
Oh, I definitely, right? I have two fingers in particular that don't bend straight. It's always funny looking back at it. You can ask Daryl Turner, who was, I mean, he works with the Memphis basketball program now, but he used to work with the Memphis football program mostly. Fingers most mismanaged injury in sports medicine. Usually it's like throw a brace on that thing and get back out there, even if it's dislocated beyond belief.
Oh, yeah. We've all done that. But it's a hell of a game. Hell of a game, right?
Yeah, right. Right. Now, I will say, knock on wood, I had good injury luck when I was at Memphis. My knees obviously probably need to lose a little bit of weight, but the knees are still holding up okay. They're holding
good.
Up okay. Now, real quick, we have in the American Athletic Conference poll behind Memphis, UTSA, Tulane, South Florida, Army. Who do you think is the scariest team from a roster's perspective outside of Memphis?
I agree with you.
I am right there with you.
Yeah, plus that game's on the road, and their program's energized right now because they think they're going to do something. You know, they're going to build them a new stadium down there. But, you know, they play in a great place in Raymond James right now. They got talent. They have, you know, they have the same questions that we have defensively, because they really couldn't stop anybody last year.
And I remember 59-50 in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
Yep. That was going down to the wire there for a while. They got a quarterback who can run and throw. They got receivers. They got good running backs. You know, their offensive line is really good, and I think they got most of them back. So, and the fact that it's on the road. And that's, you know, what the Tigers have to prove. The Tigers prove they can win on the road, then they belong in the championship, American Athletic Conference championship, and in the playoff. Mm-hmm. If they win on the road, I think, you know, that's going to do it. But South Florida is the one that scares me the most. Tulane has a new head coach and a new quarterback. Well, that quarterback they had that had to play when the one that just got drafted,
Kai Michael Horton. Pratt. Yeah, they had. He's still there.
He's still there, and he did a good job. He's a good quarterback. I mean, he gave Ole Miss all it wanted when he had to come in and play after Pratt got hurt early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they got a new quarterback, and they don't have that running back either. That running back was no joke. So they got some holes that they have to fill, and I think that we've kind of struggled down there in New Orleans playing that little bandbox stadium down there. But we've also done well a couple of times. And the only thing, man, it's just it's in it's the last game of the year, It's on Thanksgiving night or day, whenever they put us on TV. It will be on television. It's going to be a huge game because it could be the game that says, okay, you're going to the championship or you're not, you know, for the league. Mm-hmm. And so, but the thing is, it's in November, so it won't be so quite as hot as humid as it usually is down there when we play them. So I think that'll be, tough. UTSA, I just don't know. They kept their coach. But their quarterback, who was great and was there for 27 years, is finally gone.
Yeah. Old Frank Harris Jr. Yeah. Thorn in the side of everybody while he was there.
I know. But, and he was a great quarterback. And that'll be neat going to the Alamo Dome to, and they have a good atmosphere down there. They support that team. That was a good, come up for the American to get them. But, I just don't know, you know, if with a new coach and, They lost more than Frank Harris, so and he was great. So we'll just have to see about that one. But the one that scares me the most is South Florida.
Yeah, and in UTSA also, I think they just have an easy schedule. I think that's why they're picked in the number two in this conference. I mean, they're outside of Memphis, it feels like they have some bottom half teams that they're going to have to deal with, whether it's home or road. But South Florida also, what does scare me about them, they have an up-and-coming coach in Alex Golish and a guy who has a lot of confidence. I don't know if you got to see sort of he was asked about, oh, well, you have to play Bama this year. You have to play some teams that you know, generally will scare you. But I think Bama and Miami. And he said, well, Bama and Miami have to play South Florida. They have a level of confidence at that place right now because of the up-and-coming nature of that program that they haven't had since really I was in school. Right when it was Quentin Flowers, Marquez Valdez-Scantling was there. Like they have not had that type of confidence since that era.
Was that South Florida that took Bama 17-3 last year?
Yes, it was.
It was in a rainstorm, but it doesn't matter.
That was also Bama sitting down Jalen Milroe. There were some weird things going on.
If you're Alabama and you struggle, you go seven and you have to get that late touchdown. It was 10-3.
Yeah.
You got a late touchdown with like a minute left to make it 17-3. And you struggle against South Florida. Either South Florida's really good or Bama's not as good as you think. But Bama went on and made the playoffs. So South Florida is a pretty good team.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. They got talent. They have talent. And that's, you know, they have talent to rival just about anybody. So that's the one I'm most afraid of.
All right, now final thing for Jarvis Greer at Jarvis Greer WMC on X. Hey, we could go forever, but we, you know, there's time limits on radio. I know about that. What'd you think of the Memphis Grizzlies in summer league and all of the guys coming along? Scottie Pippen Jr. was phenomenal. G.G. Jackson definitely grew up before our eyes. Jake LaRavia looked like a real MVP or NBA player, not MVP. And then Zach Edey, we know he only had like 42 minutes, but those 42 minutes were pretty damn. They were well played.
Yeah, no, they were well played. I mean, it's like, he's going to be the starting center, no doubt. Was really, like, Scotty, I thought he should have gotten MVP of the
I agree. Summer League. Well, and then the MVP didn't even make first team for Summer League. That was for Jalen Wilson.
I don't know who's voting. I think they spent too much time in a casino or staring at the sphere or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how that deal worked out. But GG, after having a absolutely horrendous start for all the hype, was a great player. Did everything that you want him to do. He averaged like almost 9 rebounds, as well as scoring, you know, around 19, 20 points a game. Ran the floor well. He got up a lot of shots. He won't get as many shots, you know, playing with the big club, but he has the confidence to let it fly, which you got to have. And Jake, I'm very proud of Jake LaRavia. He went for everybody saying, trade him, he's no good. Why are we even have him on the roster? To, as you said, looking like a real NBA player. Solid. He, you know, in those games that he played when everybody was hurt last year, he looked really good. You know, he did what you wanted, what you were hoping that a number 19 pick would do. So you got some depth. You got guys you can play with. The only question now, I think, is how long will Scottie Pippen be on a two-way?
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think he might get the call up at some point during the.
I would imagine he probably gets really close to that 50 game mark this year.
Yeah,
of allowable games.
Well, and you know you got to sign them. You can't play two ways in the playoffs.
Yep.
So you know he'd have to be on a regular deal by then. I would say I would look for that to happen. I think the Grizzlies may go in with 14 roster spots. You're allowed 15, even if they sign Luke. They've already traded. They already traded Zaire, and I think it was a good thing for both team, for both Zaire and for the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies, you know, the experiment had lasted as long as it could, and Zaire goes to a team where he will actually get to play, and you know, have a chance to see if he's, you know, worth it or not. But he'll get a chance to, so that's all you can ask for. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll bring Kennard. That should come.
Yeah, it should come.
I'm guessing that should come pretty soon, because they had to get the numbers right first. You know, money. They had to get the money situation right first by letting go Zaire, which will free up the money to sign Luke on a different contract, a little bit less, but you know, he'll probably, you know, probably get a little bit more making it in the playoffs, because this team is going to challenge. Not only for a West title, but I think for all of Mark.
I think this team is in a way better position than they have been, really, even in the Ja Morant era. But here's to hoping and crossing our fingers for good injury luck, because that did not come last year.
That tells it, because if you look at every team here that's won the title, they pretty much went through the season with very few injuries and had almost no injuries in the postseason.
Yep.
Every team. Like that team that had Zebo and Marc Gasol and Tony Allen, Mike Conley, that team had Golden State on the ropes and could have won that series if, you know, Mike hadn't have broken his face and T.A. hadn't have pulled that hamstring.
Yep.
You know, they had them on the ropes. And then, you know, we did not have enough depth to get it. And that Golden State went on to win three championships. So,
yep.
You know, it's possible to do. They got the talent now, I do believe.
Yep.
I think Edie's really going to help him. Keep his ankle safe, and I think he'll be all right.
Yeah. But the next steps are getting Luke Kennard back and then getting into training camp, and we'll see how all this plays out between now and the beginning of training camp. But, Jarvis, yeah. I appreciate it, man.
We'll
definitely talk here relatively soon, right before we kick off. So stay standing by, and I'll give you a call, and we'll get you back on. Appreciate it, Jarvis.
Well, I really appreciate it. Appreciate the job you do as a former Tiger. You're repping as the only offensive lineman on the radio. I salute you, sir.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Have a good one, Jarvis.
Okay, you too.
Yes, sir. That's Jarvis Greer at Jarvis Greer WMC. Long time at WMC. 2022 winner of the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame, but still does the Grizz beat over at Grind City Media. And, of course, is the game analyst on the Memphis Tigers radio network for football. We need to go ahead and grab a break, though, on that note. And when we come back, we have to hop into the Blitz. And I want to get to an interesting story about the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl Management Committee Chair Laura Farber was on hand at Big Ten Media Days, and she made it clear that the Rose Bowl does not want to make any concessions going into the new era of a 12-team playoff. I'll tell you what she said and what I think about it coming up next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz and the Gabe Kuhn Show is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, let's hop into the Rose Bowl.
Rose Bowl Management Committee Chair Laura Farber was at Big Ten Media Days and spoke on the future of the Rose Bowl game, the college football playoff expansion. And, to put it lightly, the Rose Bowl wants to make no concessions.
Now, what we learned about their lack of making concessions, we learned that the Rose Bowl has proposed to the college football playoff that it keep its time and date, 5 p.m. Eastern on January 1st, on New Year's Day, in future playoffs, which could mean it would be a permanent quarterfinal game, and then all of these other games, these bowl games that are part of the playoff would have to sort of fall in line and move.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Move themselves around at the Rose Bowl's discretion, I think. And college football playoff officials are considering it, but it's strange to me. What they're trying to do is uphold tradition. Let's uphold tradition. How cute. That is so cute to me. While we're here, let's talk about tradition of the Rose Bowl game in itself. It's a historic matchup with the Big Ten versus the Pac-12. The Pac-12 doesn't exist. That part of the tradition is already broken. And let's take a look at the last five Pac-12 teams in the game. Three of them were Oregon, USC, and Washington. They are among the last five from the Pac-12 that are in that game. They're in the Big Ten now. Tradition tells us that the Rose Bowl is supposed to be a East-West football game. In 1902, that was the first time it was played. It was an East-West football game for a championship. Last year, it was Michigan versus Bama. That doesn't strike me as East versus West. It also doesn't strike me again as Big Ten versus Pac-12. So that part of tradition is broken already. Now, to me, what this strikes me as, it's just extreme hubris. They feel like they're better than everyone else. They're the best bowl game. They're the granddaddy of them all. They have to get what they want. Simply put, this is hubris. The Rose Bowl wants everyone to make concessions so they can get what they want. Their traditions mean more than anyone else's. They have the assumption that college football needs them. Well, here's the cold, hard sort of truth about college football. College football needs nothing of the sort. Don't forget, college football at one point needed regionality. That's what sold the best. College football at one point needed the BCS. That's what sold the best. College football needed at one point a 4-team college football playoff. That's what sold the best. College football needed the SEC on CBS. That's what sold the best. And also, college football needed the Pac-12, right? They needed that Western time zone and a conference to uphold that Western time zone. That's what sold the best. All those things are gone. College football needs have a way of being fickle in that way. So I just want the Rose Bowl to understand upholding tradition and displaying hubris are not the way of the sport anymore. Just go and ask your friends who had a bowl tie-in with you, the Pac-12. Pay attention. Stop trying to uphold tradition. Tradition's gone. We've knocked down these barriers. Get with the program. Move into the 21st century. There's no reason you need to be making everyone else around you take these concessions where you only get what you want. No one's going to take kindly to that, and that's going to make people turn on you. So be careful. Tread lightly with this path you've chosen. That's all I can say.
I understand maybe wanting to keep the premier date that the bowl game is on, but refusing to even change the time or make any concessions to help them make that happen for you, I just think is a bit ridiculous given you have zero leverage in this situation. Like the college football playoff, it should happen with the Rose Bowl, but it will happen with or without you.
Yeah, and I would hope the college football playoff committees and the people there behind the scenes would deny this motion and say, hey, you're going to be doing what we want you to do. Because all these other bowls have agreed to it, you should agree to it. Your traditions are no more important than the Orange Bowl. Your traditions are no more important than the Peach Bowl. So just fall in line and deal with what you have to deal with going forward, because the way you're trying to play this thing is going to a bad thing for you. I don't think you'll ingratiate yourself to those around you if you continue down this path.
CeeDee Lamb not at Cowboys camp. He has a contract that runs its course after this year, and he is looking, with all the other wide receiver contracts that have been signed, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra, Ross St. Brown, to name a couple, to become the highest paid non-QB in the NFL.
So this is something that's been ongoing. He missed all of the offseason program, all the OTAs, mandatory minicamp. Now he's missing the start of training camp. He's doing a hardcore holdout. Now he's owed like $17 million heading into this year, but he wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback in football. And it makes sense. He was second in receiving yards. He was second, I believe, in receiving touchdowns. He was first in receptions. Now, the Cowboys, it just continues an offseason where it's just like, what are you doing? I can't really understand your plan of action going forward. Sign the guys that have gotten you to this point. Sign the guys that have put you into this playoff conversation at the top of the NFC. They have four All-Pros, right, from last year. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Zach Martin, Michael Parsons. Three of the four, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Zach Martin, have contracts that are up after this season. Then Micah expires or is done after the 2025 season. I will say, I think this gets done because history serves CeeDee Lamb right here. 2019, Zeke Elliott is an All-Pro. He holds out. He gets a record-breaking running back contract. 2023, last year, Zach Martin's an All-Pro. He gets a top-of-the-market offensive guard deal. And then 2024, you have CeeDee Lamb being an All-Pro, first-team All-Pro, and I fully expect this blank to be filled in. But I just find it strange. Now, the precedent is there. He's 25 years old, first-team All-Pro, league leader in reception, second in yards, second in TDs. Sometimes the obvious answer is the correct one. I would imagine this gets done sooner than later, but I just don't understand why the Cowboys sat on their hands this long. They probably could have gotten away with paying him a little bit less if they would have gotten out in front of the Justin Jefferson contract, but now they're probably going to have to pay at the top of the market even more than Justin Jefferson, considering Justin Jefferson was hurt last year and CeeDee Lamb, while he was hurt, was absolutely going off. They have, you know, tied their hands behind their back. And now they're going to just have to, you know, bite the bullet and pay him a record-breaking deal, when in reality they could have paid that record-breaking deal a couple of months ago and got it for at least a couple of million dollars cheaper.
Yeah, and it's not just CeeDee Lamb that they have the situation in. Like you just said, they have the same situation with Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons, three of their most important players. They have, for some reason, waited all of this time, and in reality they are bidding against themselves. Yep. They are driving up their own price. I have not understood the Cowboys offseason, even a little bit. I do not understand their plan for next season. I don't understand their plan for the future. If it doesn't work this year, I have no idea where they go from here. I really don't.
Yeah, if they don't get this done, there is that outside possibility that CeeDee Lamb gets traded to somebody else that he can help. Because I think if he doesn't get this deal done here in the next couple of weeks, he's going to request that trade. And with that, like, we've seen wide receivers, even at the top of the market, get traded. A.J. Brown's the one from the Titans that Titans fans still are angry about. I think Mike Vrabel's still mad about that. So there is that outside possibility. But if you are the Cowboys, what wide receiver are you going to get on the open market or in the draft or going into the future that's better than CeeDee Lamb? There isn't one. He's at the top. He's top three, you know, top two last year wide receiver in the NFL. Pay the man, move forward, and give Dak his favorite target. And he's a target eater, too. He had, what, 180 targets? 198, I think, actually, targets last year. And he caught 135 balls. You can do worse than that. So just pay the man. Let's move forward and stop all this nonsense. Get him to camp.
Do you think there's a world in which they do two of the three, but not one of them?
I mean, like, Zach Martin's getting old, right? So, like, I guess he would be the odd man out here.
Well, I'm talking about between Dak, Micah, and CeeDee.
I mean, yeah, Dak would be the one on the outside looking in, but at the same time,
Trey Lance time.
Let's be honest, they got if they want to uphold some level of hope for that fan base, uphold some level of competitiveness in the NFC, three of three need to get signed back,
right?
At some point or another. I know that there's a lot of money out there that you're going to have to spend, but you have to spend money to win in today's National Football League, right? You have to have the players to go compete with the likes of the 49ers and the Lions, who have gotten a whole lot better. It's that simple. I can't understand how the richest franchise in the world,
sports,
in
period.
Sports, is just acting the cheapest. You're fine. Go write the checks. Go spend the money. And then on the back end, maybe you can talk yourself into a championship. I don't know what the other option is here. Is the other option rebuilding completely? That doesn't seem feasible in the slightest. So go pay the guys, move forward, be at the top of the NFC, and continue to compete at the highest of levels. Maybe 1 year Dak can help you break through, get to an NFC championship, ultimately get to a Super Bowl. But I can tell you this, if you don't sign all these guys back, you guarantee you won't have that opportunity.
Do you have any theories about who or what is causing the holdup?
The Joneses?
Yeah.
Bad management.
Be, right? We talked about it yesterday with the Packers.
Bad ownership.
Yeah. We talked about it with the Packers. Sometimes people have too much power.
That's it. I mean, you have all the Joneses behind the scenes thinking that the Cowboys logo is going to make people make concessions and you're going to be able to sign them for less, that type of thing. That's not how today's day and age works. That's not how these athletes work today. They want to get paid while they have a chance. NFL still stands for not for long. We know that. So, in the end of the day, pay these guys, and let's move on into the future. It's that simple. Now, again, going back to my original point, I think this gets done. The precedent is on CeeDee Lamb's side, but I just think it's astonishing that it hasn't happened to this point. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we'll come back and wrap up today's edition of the Gabe Kuhn Show with a rewind right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.